Welcome to Sanctum of Oz. I'm Zephyr, and with me is...
Omega, as always.
Perfect. And today, we're going to be working on our bonus content. That's right. Usually, bonus content is reserved for our patrons or subscribers on Discord. However, today, we are going to pre-release some bonus content for everyone. And today, we've got something really exciting lined up. Omega...
We're jumping into your Neria campaign, actually.
Yeah.
Part of it, at least. One side of the coin.
Yeah.
As it were.
One side. Exactly. Neria, for those who are listening, has a lot of different starting points and a lot of different plot lines that go into it, because Neria is, in fact, an entire world. So really, anybody could jump in anywhere. However, today we're going to be making Omega's character together with you guys, so you guys can hear and... follow along with how we're doing that.
Just to give you guys an idea of the mentality we're putting into it, and also so that first time or inexperienced D&D players can hear the process a little bit, and maybe not smoother, it's not going to be very smooth, but can hear it being done without the pressure of doing it themselves.
Right. So we're gonna start at the beginning. And I really feel like for a beginner, we should start with either the standard array. Listeners, that means you have a standard set of numbers for your base stats. Along with the standard array, you also have your averaging rolls, where you roll and you drop the lowest. And you also have set average... base stats, which are usually decided by the DM. I normally go for random rolls, but for the sake of teaching, I think we should do standard array.
I'm totally okay with that.
Will you go into more depth and explain?
Yes. So the standard array, as Zephyr mentioned, is a set of six numbers that you assign to the six primary stats used in Dungeons & Dragons 5e.
Which is strength, dexterity, constitution, intelligence, wisdom, and of course, charisma.
And those numbers, generally speaking, the standard array, the ones suggested in the player's handbook, and mostly used, or at least to my knowledge, are 15, 14, 13, 12, 10, and 8.
For those who are listening, 10 is your average Joe. That's like the normal person, plus 0, 10. Anything less than 10 is something that you're kind of bad at. And depending on how big that modifier is, you could be either really bad at it or just kind of bad. Anything above 10, you're kind of good at it. The more your modifier, the better you are.
And there's always, always, always different ways to do this. Some people have their own set of arrays that they'd like to use. A group that I was with not too long ago, we used a modification of the point buy system, which means you have a set number of points to spend on your ability score points, and mm-hmm. the higher they go, the more you have to spend on them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But the version we used was just you have 74 points total.
Right.
And none of your stats can be lower than 6, which would give you a -2 modifier.
Meaning you'd be really bad.
You're really bad at it.
Yeah, you really suck.
So that's what we generally used, because it gives the ability to max out a couple stats
right. And
take a few different averages, but also dump a few stats if you want to.
That's fair.
Because I think the standard array adds up to 73? Nope. I don't know. I can't remember. Anyway.
Great. I'm not going to do the math.
Neither am I. So, like Z said, for the purposes of... doing this nice and simple for first-time listeners or people who just don't want to get into super big numbers and shit and listen to me roll the dice 17 times, which will happen anyway, really. We're just gonna use the standard array.
And so let's take a moment to go a little more in depth with our base stats. So as we said, there's six. Strength. I mean, that's kind of obvious. That's how strong you are. Dexterity, your quickness, your agility. Your constitution would be your vitality or health. Your intelligence, how book smart you are. Your wisdom, how street smart you are, or how smart you are in real life situations, and then your charisma. That's how much of a people pleaser you are, or how good your people skills could be.
Social smarts, as it were.
Yeah, social smarts, exactly. So out of the standard array, your base stats are affected by your race and your class. Race being, I mean, your race, and then class being your, basically your occupation. What you chose to do with yourself. And Omega, what are we thinking about for race?
For race, we're actually using a homebrew that I picked up in my wanderings.
Mm-hmm.
That I have run by you and approved.
Yes.
By the way, always do that. Always check with your DM before you spring a homebrew on them.
It's true.
Because some of them are broken as hell.
Yeah, and some of them don't fit.
Correct. So the homebrew we are using is a race called the Dvati, D-V-A-T-I.
Mm-hmm.
And it was created by Reddit user Scarlet Spider.
Thank you so much.
Indeed. We love this race. I've been wanting to play it for a long time. And it is effectively a twin soul race, I guess. So the Dvati are always born in pairs of twins,
mm-hmm.
and those twins are effectively one person in two bodies. But both twins have their own personality quirks and traits and whatever, but they share their skills and health and everything.
Do you mind if I read the...
Go for it.
Yeah, so there's a little blurb about this race that I'm going to read to you guys really quick. The Dvati are an ancient people that are native to an area of the outer plains known as the Outlands. They are a peaceful folk who value the arts, debate, duality, and equality. Dvati are a unique race, as they are always born as a pair of twins who are completely identical, even across genders. Dvati resemble elves in some ways, often being mistaken for drow or Shadar Kai. Children. They are slender in body, with large pointed ears and dark blue eyes that lack irises. Their skin colors vary from light to dark shades of gray. Dvati either have blank or white hair. Their most notable physical feature are their four-fingered hands. Each pair of Dvati twins share one soul between them. Despite this, twins can have different personality traits from one another, sometimes resulting in twins that are opposites. Regardless of their personalities, Dvati twins are two sides to the same coin, and they never disagree for too long. A debate or rivalry between a set of twins is always in the pursuit of balance and understanding. A special bond between Dvati twins is far beyond that of siblings from other races. This is because Dvati twins are really one being split into two bodies. They share skills, knowledge, feelings, memories, and all other aspects of a soul's experience in life. When one twin is separated from the other for too long, the other twin is overcome with worry and longing for their other half. These feelings are so powerful that if one twin dies, it is only a matter of time before the other's connection to their soul becomes lost, until it too dies. Dvati twins suffer in separation. A Dvati that has a deceased twin will either long to join them in death or desperately seek any possible way to revive their other half.
So effectively, I'm going to be playing two separate characters who are, in truth, one solid character.
Right.
And that's going to be an adventure in my role-playing skills.
Here we go.
Minimal though they are. start with name, yeah?
Yeah, what are the let's start with, what are you choosing for the genders?
I am doing one male and one female.
And names?
Jax for the male and Nyx for the female. J-A-X and N-Y-X.
Great. Perfect. And Omega, what are we thinking about the class?
Again, another homebrew, actually. This one being a subclass. Main class being Warlock. Little bit dangerous to go with a caster for a solo campaign. I'm hoping the two bodies helps out a little bit here. But I couldn't pass up the subclass that I found because it's hilarious. And I'm really hoping to get some dope-ass shenanigans out of it.
And I'm going to read the subclass that Omega has chosen. So Omega has chosen Warlock patron the Twins. So ironic.
So fitting.
So fitting. And this subclass is, you have made a pact with a pair of patrons or one that takes the form of two beings. It might be a pair of sentient daggers, powerful fey twins, an entity from beyond the realm, which somehow is a single being and a pair at the same time, or any other powerful creature. Though varied in origin and motivation, they are all defined by their dual nature, which manifests itself in the powers they bestow.
Now, the reason I've chosen this class is primarily a joke that I made to Zephyr. As I was looking around trying to decide what I wanted to do with my my twins here, I found this class and could not resist, because one of the powers that the patrons bestow is the ability to be in two places at once. So having already two bodies and using that power effectively puts me in four places at once.
Yep.
So I go from solo player, which is always a pain, to basically my own party.
Your own party of four.
My own party of four. I don't need no healers or tanks or anything. I'm just going to be my own warlock party of four.
Yikes. And what are we thinking for background? Because that will, in some cases, affect your base stats.
That is a very good question, Z. I had not actually determined what I wanted to do with that yet. I thought about everything else. Give me 2 seconds here while I mindlessly chatter and try to determine which one I want. I think Far Traveler's the right one.
Which one?
Far Traveler.
Far Traveler. Great.
Yes. So Far Traveler is basically... I mean, it's kind of a cop-out, a little bit of a cop-out.
Well, do you want me to just read the thing?
Absolutely, go for it.
All right, hold on. Okay, so, background of a far traveler. Almost all of the common people and other folk that one might encounter along the Sword Coast or in the North have one thing in common. They live out their lives without ever traveling more than a few miles from where they were born. You aren't one of those folk. You are from a distant place, once so remote that few of the common folk in the North realizes it exists. And chances are pretty good that even if some people you met have heard of your homeland, they know merely the name and perhaps a few outrageous stories. You have come to this part of Faerun for your own reasons, which you might or might not choose to share. Although you will undoubtedly find some of these lands' ways to be strange and discomfiting, you can always be sure that some things its people take for granted will be to you new wonders that you've never laid eyes on before. By the same token, you're a person of interest, good or ill. To those around you, you almost anywhere you go are new. So, this background gives you traveler's clothes, jewelry worth 10 gold pieces, a pouch with 5 gold pieces, maps depicting your homeland, a gaming set, or a musical instrument as well. And we are not going to decide outright where you are from. So the background of a far traveler has the ability to choose a land that they originate from. We are not going to do that.
Okay. I mean, we could do the Devati homeland, but if you want to do it storyline-wise, avoiding that, that's fine too.
I mean, we can do that one. That's fine.
Because, I mean, we're not going to ever go there anyway.
That's fair. Yeah. Okay. As long as it's not a place that you could actually...
No. Yeah. Nope. So it's an outer plane called the Outland. Outland? Is that what it was?
Outland, yes.
Yes. So that's where we will be from, and we have no idea why we're not there anymore, I imagine.
Well, you're far travelers. You're traveling.
I travel far.
That You've is traveled true. Far.
All right. So what's next on our character creation checklist there, Z?
Well, now that we know our race, class, and background... we are going to be able to put in our base stats.
All right, I was trying to buy time and you went a lot faster than I thought you were. So, as a warlock...
You could also just...
As a warlock, your main casting ability is going to be your charisma. So, generally speaking, you want to not necessarily max it out, but put your highest number possible there.
Yes.
Especially when using a standard array. You're going to put your highest number possible there. So, I'm going to put my 15 into charisma. As a Devati, I gain a plus 2. Where is my sheet? I gain a plus 2 to my wisdom and a plus 1 to my charisma. So by putting 15 into my charisma, my Devati race automatically bumps that back up to 16, which is the next level needed to... words are escaping me.
To add a modifier. So... Are modifiers. Modifiers are a number that you add on to the rest of your stats. For example, not to go there, but we're going to go there. Acrobatics, animal handling, arcana, athletics. These are all smaller stats, and we use our modifiers to make the number for these smaller stats. And a modifier is used to add on to the number that you roll on your dice. So for example, let me just roll dice real quick. I have 8. If my modifier is 2, my roll is 10. So basically, when Omega is deciding where he puts his base stats, those base stats translate into those dice modifiers. 10, as we said, is a plus 0. 12 is a plus 1. 14, a plus 2. 16, a plus 3, and so on and so forth. So when Omega says that 16 is the next level of modifier, that means a 15 would have been a plus 2, but because it is a 16, he actually gets a plus 3 on that dice modifier.
Indeed. And since my Devati race is giving me 2 into my wisdom already, I can be a little cheap and undershoot it and give it one of my lower stats. Mostly because wisdom's not terribly useful for a warlock in the first place, and I don't play very smart characters in general anyway.
Yeah, that's pretty fair. That's well, you play intelligent characters, just not wise characters.
That is a fair estimation. So I'm going to actually put my 8 into wisdom and let it bump itself back up to 10 with the Devati bonus.
Right.
So that way I will maintain at least average in all of my stats.
That makes total sense.
Let's see. Next is, what do I want to do for intelligence? Let's see.
Well, Omega, as you know, in Nyria, it's better to be smart than not smart.
Why am I playing this again, then?
Whatever. Oh, your constitution's really important, too. So I guess it's up
all
to you.
All of it's important, Z.
Well, you're not wrong, but do you want to be smarter or healthier?
That's a very good question. As I am playing solo, and warlocks get a lower hit die than a tank, such as a fighter or a paladin would, a hit die being the dice you use to determine your health total.
Right.
I believe I should do a decent constitution, but it's not going to be my main stat.
That's fair.
I think if I'm leaning towards the playstyle I'm hoping for, I think dexterity is going to be where I want to put most of my points outside of charisma. So I think what I'll do is 12 in strength, 14 in dexterity, 13 in constitution, and 10 in intelligence. So averagely smart, averagely wise, and just a little bit better everywhere else.
That makes sense. Okay. So let's then go. We're going to next work on proficiency. I believe your proficiency should be +2.
We're starting at level 5, correct?
No.
Oh, what are we starting at?
You're going to be starting at level 1.
Oh, I'm going to die so quickly.
You're not going to die. You're not starting in Neria.
So quickly. Am I doing the wands one shot?
No, you... No, you aren't starting with the wands.
Oh my god, I would die so quickly in that too.
Yeah, no, we...
Don't do this to me.
We're doing a different... You have not seen this beginning yet. Oh, this is going to be new for you and
that
the people listening.
Almost worries me more. I thought I had an advantage. I don't.
You do not have an advantage.
Yes, my proficiency bonus at level 1 is 2.
Great. So, let's go on to... what are you... what is your saving throw proficiencies?
As a warlock,
I believe it is charisma and... No, I don't know. Charisma and what?
The saving throws for a warlock are wisdom and charisma. What that means is when I get into a situation where something is either attacking me or trying to charm me or spell me or any of those kind of things, I will make a saving throw using that ability score. Now, because I'm proficient in the saving throws of wisdom and charisma as a warlock, it will make it so that I add not only the modifier that I would get, for instance, with wisdom, I get a 0, but it will also add my proficiency bonus as well, bringing it up to a +2, as opposed to just the +0. All the other stats are just their modifier. So again, intelligence is a 10. Therefore, it's also a 0, so I will have no modifier to add to my saving throws when it comes to intelligence.
All right. So then we're going to move on to those smaller stats, right? The stats that you roll for individually. So for those of you who are listening, these are called skill stats. Again, that's acrobatics, animal handling, arcana, athletics, etc. And we're going to do these individually. So because you have +2 in proficiency, that means, as Omega had already said, any of the skills that his characters or character are proficient at are the ones that are going to get that +2 bonus. And... Omega, do you have your skills thought out yet?
I do, in fact. Great. So as a warlock, I get to choose 2 skills from either arcana, deception, history, intimidation, investigation, nature, or religion.
Okay.
Generally speaking, I personally don't usually take religion, because unless you're playing a specifically religious class or a very religious character, it doesn't really come in handy too terribly often in my own experience. I could be completely whiffing that on certain people's campaigns. However, I will be taking Arcana to aid in my detection of magic ability or magic spells and wards and such like that, and to better understand magical effects, as well as Deception, because again, the playstyle I'm going for, I think that fits best.
Great. So go ahead and from the top to bottom, let's go through each skill and your, modifier for said skill.
Okay. Well, give me a second. All right. So starting with acrobatics, words are hard to say sometimes. Acrobatics is a dex-based skill. So it pulls from my dex modifier, which right now is +2. So my acrobatics modifier is going to be a +2 because I don't have proficiency in that skill. Animal handling is wisdom, so it gets my +0. Arcana is an intelligence skill, so it would usually have a +0, but because I'm adding my proficiency modifier to it, I get a +2. Athletics, coming from strength, is a +1. Deception, which comes from charisma, gets a +5. History is a +0 for intelligence. Insight, coming from wisdom. As a far traveler, my skill proficiencies also are insight and perception.
Great.
Forgot to mention that. So I have 4 proficient skills. Insight being one of them, and insight draws from wisdom, which is a plus zero usually, but now will be a plus two because of the proficiency score. Intimidation is charisma, so plus three. Investigation, plus zero. Medicine, plus zero. Nature, plus zero. Ah, lots of zeros going on here.
Oof.
Yeah. Perception, plus two. Performance, plus three. Persuasion, plus three. Religion, plus zero. Sleight of hand, plus two. Stealth, plus two. And survival, plus zero. I liked Waylon so much better. Can I just use him?
No.
He had so many more better numbers.
He really did have so many better numbers.
He was so much better. Okay.
Okay. So
that's my individual skill numbers. No need to write them down. I have them written down, and I will probably still forget them.
Whoops.
Oh, no. I was talking to the viewers. Oh, okay. I know you want a copy of this.
Okay. So then let's go ahead and move up. We're going to pass passive wisdom or perception. We're going to do that. One of the last things is that's what we're going to do is one of the last things. So we're going to just skip right over that. We're going to go directly to AC. For our new for our listeners, AC is the armor class. That means how high an enemy has to roll in order to hit Omega's character. And, Omega, what is Jackson Nix's armor class?
As a warlock, they are proficient in light armor, and get to start with a set of leather armor.
Super.
Now, I don't know how you want to do the two bodies thing. Am I using one set of equipment for both of them as my starting equipment, or will I get two sets? Specifically, I get a set of leather armor as my starting equipment.
Right.
Do I get two or do I only keep one?
I think it's fair to say that because it's one character, both bodies should have the same equipment.
Okay.
So if one body has like leather armor, then both bodies have leather armor.
Okay. Moving forward as I pick things up, though, it might change. Yeah,
yeah, that's fair.
Cool. All right, so I start with leather armor, which is a base AC of 11.
Mm-hmm.
But then I get to add my dexterity modifier to it, which in this case, again, is 2. So that will bring my AC up to a 13 total currently.
Perfect. And what is your initiative?
My initiative is based on my dex modifier. So again, it's a plus 2. That means whenever I roll for an initiative to start combat, then I will add 2 to the roll, and that will be my final number.
Perfect. And what is your speed? How fast can your character move?
Unfortunately, in this case, Devati are not very big beings. They're fairly small, in fact. So my movement speed is only 25, whereas the standard movement speed is 30.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I actually count as a small creature, too. You might want to check that.
I'll check it. In the meantime, roll for your hit points.
Okay. Warlocks use a D8 hit die, correct?
Yes, your speed is, or your size is small.
Okay.
For the listeners, the size matters because if, for example, he's hiding behind a large creature, he will get full cover. So depending on the creatures you're around and creatures you're fighting, you can get something called cover, which makes it harder for things to hit you and allows you to surprise them.
It can also work in the opposite direction and be a detriment to be such a small character because it's easier for other people to move me.
And to catch you in the first place.
And to catch me in the first place. So a warlock starts with, has a hit die of 8, has a 1d8 hit die.
Right.
It begins at level 1 with 8 plus my constitution modifier.
Perfect.
As my base health. So my constitution modifier is plus 1, which means I will start with 9 whole hit points.
Great.
I am going to die. But in the future, when I level up, what I will do is I will roll a d8 to determine how much more hit points I gain for that level. And again, it'll be the roll plus my constitution modifier.
All right. We're going to go to your How many hit dice do you have? You should have three, right?
No, I'm a level one.
Oh, you're right. Just kidding.
Just one. So
rest in peace.
Yeah, you're the one who decided. So when you level up, you gain a hit die every level. What the hit die are used for is during short rests, you can roll them to regain health instead of wasting spells or potions or anything like that. But they do not regenerate until you take a long rest, which is a full 8-hour nap, basically.
8-hour nap.
8-hour power nap.
Great. Attacks and spell casting. Let's do first weapon attacks.
So again, as a warlock, I start with either a crossbow or a simple weapon. I am going to choose to start with... I think I'm going to go with a simple weapon. And I think I want that simple weapon to be... I forget what qualifies as a simple weapon. Gotta go look at the weapons. Discard. Maybe I should have prepared more. I probably should have actually built the whole character first.
Yeah.
And then we just like went through it as if we were building it.
Yeah.
Building it. So for my starting weapon, I think I'm going to go ahead and go with a dagger.
Perfect.
Nice and simple. Again, begs the question, one... It only gives me, the starting class only gives me one. Do I take two, one for each body? Or is it only the one this time?
I'm going to say one can have the weapon, the others can have the spell.
Okay, fair point. Okay, so one of them, Nyx, will hold my dagger. Whereas Jax will hold the arcane focus that I also get as part of a warlock.
Perfect. We'll do the attack roll bonus and the damage type when we actually get into combat. I don't really want to focus that right now.
Definitely.
Especially because this is supposed to be geared towards people who are new to playing.
Indeed.
So instead, we are going to go... We're going to go ahead and go back to that perception, that passive perception.
So your passive perception is based off of your wisdom modifier, because the perception skill itself is also a wisdom skill. So your active perception is what you will determine every time you roll the dice for perception. And in that case, you add your modifier and you determine the total that way. Your passive perception is more the ability to notice things happening around you when you aren't actively looking for it. And this number is based on a base 10 plus your wisdom modifier. And if you are proficient in the skill, as Jax and Nyx are, then you go ahead and add your proficiency bonus as well. So breaking mine down, starting with the base 10, my wisdom modifier is 0, so it stays at 10. And then I add my proficiency bonus of 2, which makes it a passive perception of 12.
Perfect. And what are some languages you have under your belt?
So I believe I should have printed all these papers out so I could have them by themselves instead of separate. I have, as a Devati, I speak, read, and write common.
Mm-hmm.
And I speak, read, I don't think I write, or I don't think Devati has a written language, actually, as I say that. Yes, so Devati has no written language, but I can speak and understand Devati as well, which is a complicated language based on one twin speaking the words and the second twin making basically the verbal intonation and the accompanying sounds that lend the emotional weight to the words.
Which is wild to think about.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, so the one twin just speaks in full monotone and the other one's making all the sympathetic sounds on the side. This seems weird.
Yeah.
It's going to throw some people off when I get to near you.
Okay. Well, we're going to skip over equipment as well, because you're just going to start with base equipment. Base equipment is usually based off of background and class. We're not going to go into exact detail of what warlocks get. So if you are listening and you're interested, take a peek online of what that entails. We're going to skip right over onto personality traits. I need you to have all of these. So two personality traits, two ideals, two bonds, and two flaws, because you have two separate beings that share one soul, but each are different individual beings.
I didn't think this through.
Great.
So, So the playstyle I'm going for is more of a... So when I was originally thinking about this character, I was going to lean towards a rogue. That was what I was originally going to play.
Right.
It wasn't until I found this warlock subclass that I had to play it. Because it's just hilarious. And has so much potential for shenanigans.
Really does.
But because I was going to go with a rogue, I had mostly already decided on the personality of a fairly simple, chaotic neutral, meaning I do things for my own gain, and only if I really want to. Do what I want when I want is the mentality of a chaotic neutral character.
Right.
And playing it as a mischievous, obviously self-interested type of rogue. So there's going to be pranks involved. There's going to be, well, minor pranks involved. There's going to be stealing, things like that. Like, I was planning a pretty basic rogue to start with. And I'm going to keep that main feel for the character, just doing it as a warlock. So what I think I will do is I think Jax is going to be the more playful of the two, whereas Nyx is going to be more sadistic.
Yikes.
So whereas Jax will be the one who enjoys setting and playing the pranks, Nyx will be the one that enjoys the suffering that comes from them.
Fair.
Bonds, I'm always terrible with. Why don't you go ahead and explain what each of these stands for again? Because I don't use them. I let my characters develop. We're doing it your way, though. I hardly ever fill in those boxes.
Really?
Yeah, I almost never do.
Interesting. Okay, so personality. Anybody who has played D&D before, you are more than welcome to disagree with me as I say this, because this is how I understand it, right? So I could be wrong, but this is how I play it.
And how we will be playing it.
Personality traits are the personality of your character. Like the core personality. For example, I consider myself to be artistic and silly, creative, but also really mopey and sensitive. Ideals is like what your desire is, right? So for me, knowledge is power, and I seek knowledge above all else, right? That would be my in real life ideal, right?
Yes.
For bonds is a material goal or a goal that you want to achieve within your material life. So an example would be, I want to ascend the ranks of our online personas and become a creator, right? That is a bond that I have with the material world. I want to make a name with Sanctum of Oz. I want to put on ourselves out there and basically increase our renown so we become more than just the tolerated. And then flaws, I mean, that's pretty straightforward, your flaws. So my flaw would be I'm a sensitive person with big sad sometimes, right? That's a real flaw. So some characters could have the flaw of not being able to keep secrets. Or maybe a person doesn't know how to compliment someone.
Or a bard who plays inappropriate music at inappropriate times.
Yes. or a bard that does the dirty when they really shouldn't. So those are all flaws. So I will say, if you truly cannot think of these right now, I will allow you to leave them blank.
No, it's fine. I just really wanted you to re-explain them.
Okay.
Because I'm perfectly fine using them. I just generally, in my groups, I don't.
That's fair.
But we're playing your campaign, your style, you're the DM. That means we do it your way.
Okay.
And again, to clarify, yes, I know for a fact a lot of people do bonds differently.
That's fair.
A lot of people look at bonds as your connection to the social world, so your connection to the people around you.
Oh, I do it to the material world.
So a lot of people will think of bonds as like your faction or your family.
That's fair.
But both are valid. Again, using Divati, I have two bodies, two personalities, and they generally will either complement or contrast each other, being sort of a yin-yang effect.
Right.
So, as I said, personality-wise, Jax is going to be the playful, fun one, and Nyx is going to be more serious and slightly sadistic.
Right.
Ideals, they both pretty much share the same ideal.
Right.
And that is their own personal amusement and entertainment.
Right.
Or more accurately, it's, again, they share, it's such a complicated race. I love it and I hate it. And I'm going to regret playing this character.
Too late.
Yes, way too late. So it's complicated because they are one soul, and they know that. They're well aware of that. The Divati are very aware of the state of their being.
Right.
But because they have two different personalities, there's still a bit of a dichotomy, a bit of a split in the mindset. So they both want the entertainment and amusement of themselves as a singular whole.
Right.
But to accomplish that, Nyx attempts to make Jax happy, and Jax attempts to make Nyx happy.
I see. I get it.
Because they know where they personally stand, so making the other one happy makes the whole complete self happy, as it were.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
Then bonds.
I'm going to say you can choose to do social, or you can choose to do material. I'm happy with either.
I think they kind of threw away social when they became Far Travelers in general.
That's fair, okay.
So I think they kind of replaced the one with the other.
Sure.
They shed their social bonds to take on a material bond, which, again, is just their own power and pleasure and profit.
Right.
So I guess power and profit, really. Pleasure's more ideal. But so they're out for their own gain, really. I don't have any other way to describe that.
Right. No, that was perfect. And flaws?
Flaws are really just the tail ends of their personality traits. Nyx has a tendency to get carried away, sometimes being slightly more aggressive than necessary, and enjoying suffering a little too much. And Jax has a hard time keeping serious when it needs to be. He can make jokes and be playful in the wrong times.
Perfect. Okay. And let's go over a quick view of your features and traits for the listeners, so that when you use them in the campaign, it's not a wild, what the heck is this?
What nonsense is he doing? Because there will be a lot of it. All right, so as a Divati, I come with 1, 2, 3 features to begin with.
Okay.
Dual bodies is one, which is basically just the mechanical interpretation of my existence as two separate bodies with one soul.
Right.
So twins can move, speak, and act independently of each other. They choose which one of them takes an action, bonus action, or reaction. If twins gain any additional actions, they can split these actions up between themselves. That means that during the course of my turn, especially in combat is when a lot of these will come up most.
Right.
During my turn, I can have Jax move to get to a certain spot, but then have Nyx do the attacking. Or vice versa. I can split. So a combat round for each individual player is made up of three steps, predominantly. It is your movement, your action, and your bonus action. I'm not going to go too in-depth about it, but those are the three you get predominantly. There are things that let you get more. There are things that let you get less. There are things that let you do certain things during certain times.
Right.
But for the most part, you get those three steps during your combat phase.
Mm-hmm.
And dual bodies allows me to split those three into any combination of the twins that I want.
That's, yeah, okay.
And if I get more actions or whatever, I can split them. I can let whichever twin I want do it.
Perfect.
The second one, oh wait, there was more. I apologize. I stopped reading and then it looked like there was more. So each twin has their own movement speed. If a twin takes the dash action, they can choose to split the extra movement speed between both of them. Whenever twins are able to make more than one attack, they can alternate those attacks between themselves. Non-magical physical effects are not shared between twins. If a twin becomes blinded, deafened, grappled, incapacitated, paralyzed, petrified, poisoned, prone, restrained, or stunned, the other twin is not.
Okay.
So what that means is if the effect that prevents one twin body from doing something is not a magical one, then it will not affect the other twin. It also means, so it says each twin has their own movement speed. I do not know, it feels wrong to say that in my movement step I have 50 feet of movement speed and each one gets 25 of it. That seems wrong. Is that how we want to interpret that? So basically when combat starts, both bodies would have 25 movement speed.
I feel like that's perfectly fine.
Okay.
I mean,
it just sounds like a lot, but
it is a lot, but also these are two bodies.
True.
So each body can move 25 feet.
Okay.
That's fair to me.
And then when I take the dash, I still only get an additional 25 feet to split between the two bodies.
Correct.
Gotcha. All right. So that makes sense. So the original 25 is purely for each body, and then the dash would add any combination of 25 or anything up to 25 to each body.
Correct.
Roger. Okay. The second feature that I have is called single soul. So while twins are on the same plane of existence, they have the following benefits. Twins have advantage on saving throws against effects that would cause them to become charmed, frightened, or put to sleep. If a twin becomes charmed, frightened, or unconscious, the other twin is affected as well.
Okay.
So while I will have advantage, which means rolling twice and taking the higher number, in order to stop those effects from happening, if it does happen, both bodies are affected.
Right.
Twins can communicate telepathically with each other. As an action, a twin can see through the other twin's eyes and hear what they hear until the start of their next turn. During this time, the twin using this feature is non-magically deafened and blinded with regard to their own senses.
Fair. Okay.
So as an action, one of the main three things that I can do during a turn, I can have one twin look through the other's eyes and ears, but their own eyes and ears stop working.
That's going to be a fun mechanic.
That's going to be an interesting one. Spells and magical effects affect both twins. For example, if a dispel magic, enhance ability, or telekinesis spell are cast upon one twin, or if a twin is affected by a magical trap or an area of anti-magic, the other twin is also affected.
Okay.
So effectively, all magical effects will affect both bodies.
Right.
Which means the primary one I'm thinking of as a warlock is the armor?
Mage armor.
No, not that one, the other one. The one that explodes and does damage to the other person.
Oh, right.
Frost armor or whatever.
Yeah.
That one. So if I apply that effect to one twin, the other twin gets it as well, automatically.
Yes.
Whenever a twin casts a spell that requires concentration, the other twin must also concentrate on that same spell.
Ooh.
If a twin casts a spell that requires material components, the other twin can provide those components for them. So this is where this is one of the things that... makes up a good homebrew is
right. Balance.
Mm-hmm. It's all about balance. So yes, I get all these cool sounding benefits, but if I cast, say, Witch Bolt, which is a spell that you have to concentrate and focus on, then the other twin has to do that too. So the way I'm kind of playing Nyx and Jax, the way that I've now set them up, is that Nyx is my physical fighter. She's going to be the one running in and stabbing people, whereas Jax is my caster. He'll be standing slightly farther back and casting spells.
Right.
If Jax casts a Witch Bolt, then Nyx has to concentrate on it. And if you're concentrating on a spell and you take damage, you have to roll to maintain that concentration.
Right.
Which means it's entirely possible that Jax will lose his spell because Nyx took damage.
Yeah.
It's a bigger negative than some people are willing to put into homebrews. But that's how you know it's a good homebrew, is when it balances out fairly well.
Right.
And the last feature that I have is called Twin Fate. So twins make separate death saving throws. If one twin becomes stabilized, they both become stabilized. If a twin dies, the surviving twin loses their dual bodies and single soul racial traits until the deceased twin is returned to life. After each long rest thereafter, the surviving twin must succeed on a DC 15 constitution saving throw or suffer one level of exhaustion. These exhaustion levels cannot be removed by anything except for a wish spell or until the deceased twin is returned to life, at which point all exhaustion levels are immediately lost.
Wow.
Which means if one of my bodies dies, then I have six levels of exhaustion? Five.
Five.
Five, and then the sixth kills you.
Yep.
I have five levels of exhaustion.
You have 5 days.
Effectively, assuming I don't make it, yep, the roll. I have 5 days to figure out how to revive my twin. Which, by the way, I love the explanation there that they cannot be removed by anything except for a wish spell. Because you could just use the wish spell to bring the other one back to life.
Yep.
Like, I wish to remove my exhaustion. Why didn't you just revive them? I don't know. I didn't think of it.
Yikes.
Yeah. So there's a lot of good and some bad. And it'll be an interesting balance. As for the features that I get from being a warlock. Actually, no. First, let me do my background, because I know that one.
Okay.
I did know that one. Okay, so the feature that I get, I don't know why I stopped the word. It was like feature.
I
get for being a far traveler is called All Eyes on You.
Mm-hmm.
Your accent, mannerisms, figures of speech, and perhaps even your appearance all mark you as foreign. Curious glances are directed your way wherever you go, which can be a nuisance, but you also gain the friendly interest of scholars and others intrigued by far-off lands, to say nothing of everyday folk who are eager to hear stories of your homeland. You can parlay this attention into access to people and places you might not otherwise have, for you and your traveling companions. Noble lords, scholars, and merchant princes, to name a few, might be interested in hearing about your distant homeland and people. So that really applies well with the Dvadi, because I'm a completely unknown race to most people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it will allow me to leverage that, to use that intriguing strangeness that I will have for people to find my way into places.
Absolutely. And
into conversations with people.
Yeah, yeah.
So much talking. All right. So, as a warlock, as a starting level one warlock, what I start off with is Pact Magic.
Right.
That's my feature. It is the ability to use magic that has been granted to me by my patrons, patrons. So Pact Magic just unlocks my ability to cast spells, effectively. It lets me know two cantrips of my choice and from the Warlock spell list, and I will learn two. I will learn another one at 4th level and another at 10th. Cantrips are spells that can be cast without having to use a spell slot. So they are instantaneous, they are faster and easier to use in general, but they are almost always weaker.
Yes.
Well, no, they are always weaker. I don't know why I said almost. It unlocks my spell slots. I get 2 first level spells of my choice from the Warlock spell list. And then at 2nd through 9th level, I earn an additional spell and every odd level thereafter. And when I gain a level in that class, I can change my Warlock spells if I would like to. Charisma is my spellcasting ability, but we'll focus on that once we get further into dealing with the numbers on that end.
Right.
So then the other feat comes from my otherworldly patron. Not otherworldly patron, that's, yeah, otherworldly patron. So the feature that I get from my patron is by location. Starting at first level, the unusual nature of your patron allows you to be in two places at once. And here's why I wanted to pick this class. As an action, you can create a second instance of yourself. It appears in an unoccupied space that you can see within 30 feet of you and lasts for 1 hour until you die or choose to end this effect with a bonus action. If you choose to end the effect, you can select which instance should disappear. Whenever you take an action, movement action, bonus action, or reaction, you can choose which instance will perform it. Both instances are still the same body, therefore they share all statistics, including hit points, conditions, and equipment. Once you use this feature, you can't use it again until you finish a short rest. So effectively, what the twins patron allows me to do is what my Devati body already does.
Right.
But I get to do it again. And because there's two bodies, but I'm using the same soul, are we going to write that as I get both at the same time? Or are we going to do whoever uses the feature, whichever body uses the feature is the one that gets doubled. So I only get three instead of four. So if I get four, then it's going to be massively crazy and awesome. Z, let me do four.
Unfortunately.
Come on, Z. No, Z.
It says... Please,
I'm pouting.
It says the body gets duplicated. So
no, it says it creates a second instance of myself. Myself is the two of us. I am one entity in two bodies.
Right. But is it duplicating the entity or the body?
Wait for it. It says both, really. So it says, like I said, as an action, you can create a second instance of yourself, is how it clarifies that. And then later it says, whenever you take an action, both instances are still the same body. So it's kind of both. It's like your entire person, but then also just your body. I don't know. You're the DM. You are the one who decides this. And that's always also an important thing to remember, folks. DM has final say.
Here's what I'm going to say.
Yep.
I'm going to say it can replicate both bodies. I'm going to say that's fair. However.
Okay.
It specifically says that it doesn't replicate. Both bodies do not attack.
Correct. It's very similar. It's almost identical to the way my Devati bodies would work.
So you would still only be able to attack with one, even if you had four duplicates out.
Even having four bodies... So when I go into combat, I'll have two bodies. Yes?
Right.
I'll have Nyx and Jax. If I use by location, then I will have another copy of Nyx and another copy of Jax.
Yes.
The Nyx and Jax copy share all their movement speed and everything with the originals. So I would still only have 25 movement per those two bodies. And then further, only one of those four can actually do an action or a bonus action or a reaction.
Correct.
So I'm still only going to have the same main set of one movement speed, or one movement action, one action, and one bonus action spread throughout four bodies.
Yes. Yeah.
Cool. And there are further features and such that appear later. I do not believe I have any more for Warlock until I level up a little bit. Do I get my Pact Boon? Yeah, my Pact Boon comes at level 3. So at that point, I will determine what boon I would like to get. And that will help push me along the path of the Warlock. That should be all of my features. Since I'm level 1, I'm not taking feet quite yet. And I believe that is that.
One last thing.
Yes.
XP. So, listeners, XP is how you level up. Now, there are normally two ways to gain XP. Milestone, which is based off of events that you have accomplished, or by points, which is you gain a certain amount of points for doing something. Now, for the beginning of the Neria campaign, we are going to do Milestone. When you get to Neria, it will turn into experience points, which you, Omega, already know, but for the sake of the listeners. Now, I know a lot of DMs don't do that, but that's how this is going to be run. So we're going to start with milestone, and then we will move on to experience points after we actually get to Neria. And I do believe that would conclude the creation of Jax and Nyx.
I believe so, yes. The only thing left to determine is my spells, which doesn't really need to be done on air, as it were.
Yeah.
And to then get started. But unfortunately, we are out of time.
That's how it goes sometimes.
Indeed. So we're going to sign off here shortly.
Yep.
And the following first episode,
we're going to do session zero with regular release. And everything after that will be available to patrons. Now, those of you who are listening, patrons are those who subscribe to the Patreon or decide to become a patron through Patreon or subscribe on our Discord through the Me6, both of which are easily available on Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, oh boy, all the things, all the social media, all of it really. So if you are listening to us through Anchor or Spotify, make sure to take a peek at our other social media. Even Twitch will help you reach our other social media platforms.
All right.
So that you can be a part of the Neria campaign as well.
Indeed. Well then, that's all for us today. We will see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.